Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's off to a fabulous beginning to their day today. Joe Rex Road, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing great. Got, you know, it's some Champions Classic hoops tonight. So in case people were wondering, so that's always a great doubleheader. Michigan State, Kansas, Duke, Kentucky, also Battle of the Boulevard, Lipscomb, Belmont. So
get excited. I mean, the world's biggest college basketball fan is on this program. There's no doubt about that.
Maybe. I'm in the upper quadrant probably.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. Keyser, what's going on, Keyser? How are we doing?
Good morning, fellas. More importantly, Robbie, how are you doing after a late night last night?
Well, I tell you, it was late, and then we got overtime. So that was fun. Of all the times to get to overtime, last night was a little bit of a late one. But I'm doing okay. Preds get the point last night, and we had a phenomenal broadcast. Shout out to Jake Lyman, who celebrated his 25th birthday last night, able now to rent a car. How about that?
Very, very nice for Jake. And it was, I believe, his first game on the board by himself.
That is correct. First game on the board, he did an outstanding job. So, really good night. You're on the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Preds get the point in overtime last night, Joe. So, not exactly what they were looking for. Probably played well enough to get 2 points in that game, but they lose 3-2 in overtime to the Colorado Avalanche. Sam Girard, the game winner for Colorado in overtime. It's pretty unfortunate, Joe. I thought the combo of Yossi and Shea probably had their best game together last night. Like, they're pretty good, particularly in the defensive zone. And then Yossi made some great plays offensively. But then it comes down to Brady Shea in overtime, essentially losing his edge and falling down. And then Sam Girard scores on the breakaway. So a game last night where I felt like the Predators probably played well enough to win in that one. And they end up with only 1 point out of two.
Well, it's the year of former Titans, you know, tormenting them, or even if it's not them, you know, Monday Night Football, Jonnu Smith, whatever, yeah. Right? So of course, Sam Girard is going to, Sam Girard is going to get the Preds, right? I mean, it's just, that's only natural. Is it possible that there's I know we've said this before, but you know, some things that are kind of being worked out here for this team in a good way.
Well, I will say this is two games in a row where they've looked like they had a pretty solid clue of what they're doing in the defensive zone, which I don't know that that's happened all year. I don't know that they've had two games in a row where they looked like they were in sync together in the defensive zone. So it's still not perfect. Like, you got to, at some point, you got to find a way to consistently generate more than two goals a game. And they had plenty of looks to do that last night. So, I mean, by no means have they arrived, but I do think the way that their structure was against Utah was really good, obviously. I mean, they won 4-0, had a shutout in that game. And I thought, you know, other than Nathan MacKinnon just getting loose a couple times, which I don't care how good your defensive zone structure is, that's going to happen from time to time. And that did happen a couple of times last night. Other than that, like, I thought they were pretty good with their structure, with their defensive zone. They're not fumbling all over themselves trying to get out of their own zone and get on the breakout anymore. Like, I do think they're starting to fix some things that in the long term is going to lead to better play and some better results. Problem is, you've dug yourself a hole or you need those results now. And like last night's a perfect example. Like, I thought for the most part they were better than Colorado. Like, that's a game you need to come away with both of those points. Like, you got to win that game last night. And, you know, UC Saros made some unbelievable saves in the third period. But the bottom line is that second goal that he let up, he's got to stop. Like it goes, it's a one timer from Rantanen in the right circle. And I get it. It's Mikko Rantanen, but it fooled him. And it just, it's a puck that he had squared up that ends up sneaking in, you know, through the right side of his pad over there. So, yes, I think they're getting better. I think there's a lot more to like the last two games than not, but still, you got to find a way to get a result last night, get a win.
Right. Yeah. I mean, every point at this point is just a little bit more urgent because of the start. So I get that. But I mean, you know, if you do have some things worked out, if you've got some things that you can rely on, you know, then you would think that you'd be able to, you know, to start kind of climbing your way back. I mean, that's the thing too. I mean, you can't, you know, you can really only lean on all the cliches that people say all the time. They're true in a lot of cases, you know, and it's just, you know, getting a point at Colorado to me still like sounds, you know, that's, hey, I mean, that's not bad. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you've gotten 3 out of 4 points against that team, which I still think, I mean, and maybe I'm wrong here, but I still think Colorado could be, you know, a real factor at some point in the West this year too. I don't know. Maybe I'm.
No, they're going to be there.
Overrating
like,
them.
When like McKinnon has basically 2 points per game. McCarr is going. It looks like if McCarr stays healthy this year, he's going to run away with the Norris Trophy. I get it. We're, you know, 16 games in or whatever, but the dude is unbelievable. Like he's off to an incredible start. So when you have those two. And then there's Rantanen, who I guess only has 21 points in 16 games, so I guess he's kind of a bum compared to the other two. But when you have those three guys playing at the level that they're playing at, they're going to be in there. You know, as bad as their goaltending has been, they're still in it. Like, Georgiev is their starter, and he had an 851 save percentage heading into last night. Now, last night he played great. Unfortunately for the Predators, he picked their game to look like he had a pulse in net last night. He made some big saves, but you know, Predators got to find a way to bear down and just convert on some of these chances. Like Forsberg had a couple good looks last night. Sissons ultimately scored, but he had another one in the second period that was just a great play by Marchessault. It was point blank and you missed the net. And that's just happening too much right now. Like they're not converting on some of the chances that they're getting.
Yeah. Well, maybe getting, you know, here, you know, getting away is something that they talked about here. So, you know, maybe it'll end up being, you know, a good thing for them to kind of get things in order. You know, clearly, whatever, you know, I still think like at some point, like we're going to hear about some sort of meeting, right? Like, especially if they win, that's what always happens. Like if they rip off a few wins, it'll be like, yeah. And then back on like November 4th, you know, we had this meeting or whatever, but
Ryan O'Reilly individually criticized each member of the team for 2 hours and they finally got it figured out.
He said, I'm gonna pretend I'm you and now I'm gonna scream at you. Okay, how about that?
I'm gonna take public accountability for myself and say I'm the worst hockey player ever, and then behind closed doors I'm just gonna rip you all. That's what's gonna happen. And I'm kind of rooting for that.
That's actually a pretty good idea. I kind of, I hope that happened. Yeah,
I hope it did too. Now, don't worry though, Joe, because you get the point last night, and now you have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and Edmonton coming up on Thursday, and that typically ends well for the Predators. That's good.
Well, at least you've got McDavid back to sort of hopefully detract from Draisaitl, you know, scoring the 6 goals he would have scored on you if McDavid wasn't there, right?
Yeah, just and keep the puck McDavid away from him a little bit less. Yeah,
exactly. McDavid might make take away some of his powers. So, you know, it's actually a good thing that they get McDavid. I mean, at some point they got to beat that team, right?
Well, that's the thing. Like, for whatever reason, you know, beating them at home has just become a tough proposition. They did play well against Edmonton on the road last year. So we'll see if they can do that again.
Did they get a regulation win against them last year?
They did. Yeah. On the road. So we'll see if they can do that again. But I don't know. Like, I guess McDavid, but particularly Draisaitl, they look at Bridgestone Arena and they're like, this is my favorite place on the earth. I love being here. I'm going to put up 1,000 points in my career here. at Bridgestone Arena. So maybe getting them in their own house, they're a little too comfortable out there, Joe.
Maybe it's just Draisaitl, you know. He gets here, he goes into one of those boot shops, buys boots, a couple rooftops, and it's just like he's just unstoppable, you know. Maybe that's the whole key. Get him away from Broadway.
They got any Cracker Barrels in Edmonton? I doubt it. Finds him some down here and just really kind of settles in. That's what I'm saying. Like Barry Trotz, you know, had he made it to free agency, and the pitch would have been, hey, man, you come play here, you're going to set the all-time scoring record. I mean, that's just it. That's what it is, man. But, you know, he signed a contract, so that's gone at this point with Edmonton. Cool night last night also for the Predators, Joe. David Poile and Shea Weber going into the Hockey Hall of Fame. I got a chance to kind of check out both of their speeches after the game last night. It was really cool. You know, Shea Weber, I think, was up there for 6 minutes, which I think was about 3 minutes longer than I thought he would be. So shout out to Shea for getting up there and going through the 5 to 7 minute timeline. Good stuff from Shea Weber. Really cool stuff from David Poile and his journey last night. But just if you've been a longtime Predators fan, last night, pretty cool seeing David Poile going in and the first homegrown superstar, the first drafted player by the Predators getting into the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah, pretty awesome. And I, you know, let's see, what are we talking here? 8 years ago, eight or even maybe seven is when he actually came back. But, you know, right around there.
Yeah.
I still remember when Shea Weber came back, you know, someone asked him about David. It might have been you asking about David Poile. And
it did not go well.
Not super excited to talk about that, but he shouted him out last night, which I think is kind of nice.
It was. And, you know, anytime Craig Partner Baugh gets a shout out in a Hall of Fame speech, I'm here for it.
Yes, good stuff from Shea Weber there.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts all show along on our phone and text lines, which are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We got a lot to get to on the program today. We're going to get into the Titans. Coming up next, we'll get into a lot of college football on the program today. Tennessee in their race for the college football playoff. Diego Pavia suing the NCAA. We'll have Chris Vanini from The Athletic joining us at 8 o'clock. All that coming up on today's program. Some Titans thoughts that I want to get to in the aftermath of Sunday's game against LA. And a pretty interesting piece from PaulKuharsky.com. We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game, broadcasting from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, in the aftermath of the Titans' loss to the Chargers, it drops them to 2-7, and our friend Paul Kuharsky, who was on the show with us yesterday and who we'll have with us tomorrow, took a little bit of a different approach with his column after the game. Instead of just breaking down, you know, the game and the loss, which has become a very common thing this year, kind of went into the state of the Titans. And his general point in his column at PaulKuharsky.com is you got 2 wins or 2 years, 8 wins to show for it with this current regime right now, at least on the front office side of things. We know that, you know, Brian Callahan has come in and it's his first year, and we'll see basically how that goes for him moving forward here. I want to read just one part of PK's column here and kind of get your reaction to it, because I think it leads into an interesting discussion with the fan base. And it just says this, quote, players are not performing well enough. Coaches aren't fixing repeat mistakes. The GM who put the team together is out of the building, or is out building the fantastic relationships we hear about, but he can't be held account for his roster because he's invisible. He answered 5 whole questions 2 weeks ago and set off 2 weeks of criticisms for his inane responses. The owner hasn't taken a meaningful question for anyone who doesn't get a paycheck from her in years. They'll leave Callahan, as they left Mike Vrabel before him, to answer for everything, whether he deserves to or not, whether it's his to speak about or not. It's such a big mess, and there are so few people involved in it to be confident about. Maybe it's a super slow build and patience pays off, but it's hard to have faith in that. That's what Kuharsky says in his column. So what's your reaction when you hear that? And as you look at Titans fans, we've had the Carthon Brinker discussion a lot in the last few weeks, and we're going to probably continue to have it a lot as the season goes on here. How do you, what's your sense from the fan base on how they view the Carthon Brinker situation, factoring in everything we've talked about with Amy Adams Strunk and the rash decisions that she's made at times over the last couple of years? How do you view kind of the way this whole thing is trending with the front office? We have Rex Rhodes' first mute of the day. He had gone through a stretch where he was doing really well, and the last week or so, it's come back in, Joe. It's creeping back into your game.
Why is that? Why am I having a mute issue? Maybe it's because I was actually looking up to see if there were any Cracker Barrels in Canada for you. The closest to Edmonton is in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I'd like you to know.
Well, I've been a long way.
It is a long way. It's close to Canada. I've been to Coeur d'Alene to get a burger at some place because I was like covering the NCAA tournament in Spokane, Washington. It seems like a nice place for a Cracker Barrel. But unfortunately, Canada has not yet embraced the Cracker Barrel. Well, there's my little update for you.
No wonder Leon Draisaitl loves it here.
Exactly. Yeah, I'd love to know the answer to your question. The more you lose, the more like a fan base is going to be disillusioned. And again, there's just so many. It's the losing. It's the changing. It's the, you know, the ownership and all of the just – here's a really important decision and it's this. Oh, no. I'm going to switch right now. And actually I'm going to do this instead. And the product is rough. And of course you just add in, it really is amazing. Like the just flooding of other teams with former Titans who are doing good things for them. You know, I just to add to the, just adds a little insult to injury. So, I mean, but like, so think of this fan base. It wasn't that long ago that there was a lot of excitement about what was going on in this last offseason, and you know, let Rand cook all over the place. And I think I'll speak for myself. I liked some of the things when they happened, for sure. Understanding that on every offseason move, and in any offseason, there's going to be some that work, some that don't, but. You know, I thought I liked some of that, and I liked the idea of, look, man, you want to find out about Will Levis, but you also, like, you can't be bad and find out. You need to be as good as possible for him, and obviously in this league, you can't. The super slow build line there by Kuharsky, and by the way, a very good piece by Kuharsky. Yep. But the super slow build thing, you know, that's not the NFL. So all that excitement and some people I think are going to say, okay. And yet I still did not think this team was a serious contender. I still had my doubts that this team was going to get to the playoffs. It is rougher than I thought. I'm just speaking for a potential random Titan fan. It's worse than I thought it would be. Levis is worse than I thought he would be. But I had no illusions that this was going to be some great season. So let's see it play out. I think a lot of people still think that way, but also I think, I mean, look, then you have the one end of the spectrum is like Stilly, right? I mean, he represents like fire. I heard him yesterday. It's like, he's like, why would Rand not be fired in season? Like he can't even wait until the end of the season anymore. Oh, to fire
have we
Rand.
Gone there now? Okay.
Yeah. Well, with the comparison of, and it's a flawed, you know, there's a lot of flaws with, like, well, if you did this with John Robinson, then how could you not do this with Rand Carthon? Well, the reason is because you did make all those changes. And so you said, this is what we're doing now. And I mean, it's at some point you probably realize that people are screaming at you for being ridiculous and changing your mind all the time. Right. And that would be one reason why it wouldn't happen. But that's the one side, which is like, these guys have no, I mean, again, just stupid crap that Jared says, like, these guys don't know football. I mean, it's just, you know, going way overboard. But hey, I don't begrudge fans for questioning what is going on. And the word that Kuharsky used, and I can't sit here and I can't confirm this. I don't know it's true. I think it's a word I'd like to explore with him tomorrow when he comes in. But the word mess, is it a mess internally? I don't know. If it is, well, then that's a different conversation. We know the product right now is not good. I still would start at quarterback and say, you know, the guy they picked and the guy they're trying to find out about, they're unfortunately finding out things they don't like.
Yeah.
But that's also not the only problem. I mean, it's I talked for a long time there, and I go back to the initial answer. I could have said this in a lot fewer words. Like, I'd love to know, you know? I mean, if we could do a true poll of Titans fans, you know, what do you think the breakdown would be?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. Like, I think the more you watch them play, and by the way, we still got a lot of football left to play, right? Like, they're 9 games in. So we got a lot more. We got a lot longer of a way to go this year, unfortunately, to watch this whole thing come together. Like, I just think the more you watch them play when they're already 2-7 and it's as bad as it's been this year. Like, one of my questions is, all right, how much of it is apathy? How much of it is anger? And how does that influence the way the fan base kind of responds to this at the end of the year? Because I do think there's a lot of Titans fans that view it like this. It's, oh my goodness, you fired John Robinson in the middle of a season, and then you fired Vrabel shortly after giving both of them contract extensions. Are you really going to turn around and just start doing that again? Like, you're going to fire the general manager and the front office and then have somebody else come in that's on a different timeline as your head coach? Or look, maybe even you think that there's a chance that she fires everybody and fires Brian Callahan along with it. Like, are you really going to do that again and come in and just shake up the apple cart again? Because we don't really want to see that. I do think there are a lot of Titans fans that feel that way. However, I also think there are Titans fans that look at it and say, all right, well, Rand Carthon's been with this team for 2 years, and the record is atrocious during that time. And some of the free agent decisions that he made and or trade decisions this offseason have not worked out and don't look like they're going to work out. And, oh, by the way, the quarterback that he was a part of selecting, regardless of how many people want to play revisionist history or act like that wasn't, you know, a part of his decision, it's on his record. The quarterback that he selected ain't looking so hot so far this year. And they don't have confidence that he and or Brinker and that administration are the right people to select the next one. I think that's growing each week. Like, that just my general reaction to seeing, you know, I hesitate to base a lot of things off social media, because I think we know how that works in the world. But even on our show, right? Like, I think we have more and more people that are calling and texting in with each passing week that are becoming a little bit more fed up with the front office. That's just my read on it.
Yeah. Well, I said this a couple weeks ago, and we're going to continue. I mean, look, I'm still, in terms of prediction, I'm still very low on believing that Amy Adams Strunk is going to again start over. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. But it's not just the losing or the winning or losing on the field. It is individual storylines. And I think L'Jarius Sneed is a big one. Is he ever going to play again? Is Shadobia Awuzie going to play? I mean, like, apparently he's close. You know, like, these were some of a couple of the biggest moves. And though they have been obviously just huge disappointments. So it's not just the results. It's also some individual outcomes moving forward that, to me, are going to be really important in this.
I will say, like, people are going to roll their eyes at this because they're 2-7. I do think it's big for Carthon and Brinker that Calvin Ridley all of a sudden is playing well. Like, just imagine what we'd be talking about with the free agents if he wasn't. Like, right, the last three games, he's starting to look more like the guy that they brought him in to be. So at least you've got that going for you right now. But if you didn't have that, I mean, we'd be talking about a disaster with some of these things.
Yeah, I mean, a couple weeks ago, it was like, well, Ridley and Sneed, holy cow, you know, right? So yeah, Ridley, you're right, is helping. So does Sneed get back out there and look like like the corner that he used to be in this league? I mean, things like that are going to matter too. Draft picks, I mean, as we go through their rookie season, you know, Latham, Sweat, you know, I think Latham's been pretty good. Sweat, you know,
hard to fade.
Yeah, just isn't nearly as impactful as it needs to be. Brownlee continues to be a good player, but yeah. So, but again, like, this is, well, I have a point to make on this that, you know, that I will wait for.
Okay, we'll get into that coming up next. Take your thoughts as well. How do you view Rand Carthon, Chad Brinker, the Titans front office, and How do you think this is going to end for them at the end of the season? We'll take your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number. The YouTube chat is flowing as well. We appreciate everybody's participation. Joe, you had a point that you wanted to make before we went to break there.
Well, of course, I've forgotten it because I've been in the chat and with in the
text line.
The text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. By the way, thank you. I haven't even been able to get to the YouTube chat yet. What's going on over there?
Oh, we just got a few things like. The distinguished gentleman says, it's a rebuild, ran is fine, and the front office is in lockstep. We have to get our quarterback, and then let's evaluate what Rand can put together. He's still cleaning up this mess. Vrabel undermined his boss, and he had to go. J-Rob traded AJ. That's grounds for dismissal. He didn't draft Levis. You can clearly see the difference between J-Rob's picks and Vrabel and J-Rob's picks. We got to get out of the Rand Carthon didn't draft Levis part of this stuff. Yeah, like he drafted Levis.
Yeah, what are we doing here? So see, I got enough here in the on the text line. Now I got way too much flowing here. Yeah, he didn't draft Levis is ridiculous. Again, I'm not saying, you know, that it was all him at all. Not saying that, but they discussed it and they drafted Levis, and that's this front office, and this is their second year. A few points, you know, on the text line. Well, first of all, what were we talking about at the end? Because I did have a point I really wanted to make, but there's some really good points being made here as well.
I don't remember.
Yeah, all right, it's fine. It'll
there's
all
so much going on right now.
It'll all come back.
By the way, we really appreciate everybody's participation. There's a lot happening right now.
Yeah, the mess thing. You know, someone said, "Well, of course it's a mess. What are you talking about? Look at." And then citing all the stuff Amy's done. So let's distinguish here, okay? Yes, the Titans, I'll say it for the millionth time, have an ownership problem based on how she has run this franchise in the last few years. She has made it a mess. Ownership is a mess. Agree, okay? But in the NFL, or take it away from the NFL and pro sports, you know, bad owners make good hires. I mean, like there's so many people here. There's a pretty small pool of people, really, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to hire. And if you, like, again, I will tell you, now I do think that Sheila Hamp Ford seems to have a clue, but the Ford family and their ownership of the Detroit Lions has been an all-time just absolute albatross, okay, around the neck of the city of Detroit and state of Michigan. And, you know, 3 years ago, hired Dan Campbell, Brad Holmes, and look where they are. And that's another thing, a point that's popular right now, and I get it. I've heard Chase say it yesterday. You know, the Titans need to hire someone who's experienced. You know, this is two rookies. Who's the adult in the room? Again, I apologize for not crediting you texters. The texts are just flying in right now. But I understand that perspective too, but then you go and look at what they did in San Fran, and you go and look at what they did in Los Angeles, and you go and look at what they're doing in Detroit. It's pretty much the model. It's people who have come up, you know, great coordinator or whatever. You know, Campbell wasn't even that, but usually it's that, right? Okay, now it's your time to be a head coach. Someone high, you know, director, player, personnel, number two or number three in a front office that's been successful. Now you get your chance to be GM. And that's just, I'm not rejecting. I think it is weird that, like, you basically are done in this league if you fail once as a GM, whereas sometimes coaches can fail multiple times and keep going. But, I mean, that, like, let's not act like this is some outlier, this model of the Titans. I mean, this is mostly what teams do, and there's a lot of examples of it working.
I got one texter that says, if y'all in the fan base can have patience with the front office, let alone Levis, whatever happened on giving people time to succeed? And I understand that. We've talked about that some. Like, there's, you know, I think there's more of, especially at the quarterback position, it's more show me now what you got or I'm going in a different direction than probably it's ever been in the history of the National Football League. Now, having said that, I understand that patience can be something that is really important to let a process play out. I also think you don't just give blind patience. Like, you have to show some things in the process of it to earn some of that patience. And have the Titans shown enough of that, whether it's Carthon or Levis? I would argue the answer is probably no at the moment. So I don't think that you just show patience just for the sake of showing patience. Like, there's got to be some benchmarks that you're hitting along the way to earn some of that patience.
No doubt. Well, and that's the thing. It's like, I mean, the product is ultimately, and that's what this is, right? It's, I mean, millions of people get to see these teams. And so we all have these public evaluations of the product. And at some point, the product is what dictates the action, right? I mean, that's very simple. I mean, it's just a question right now of, is the product we're seeing, you know, can you explain away some of these things with the previous regime and mistakes made and bad drafts? Yes, you can. Does that explain everything away? No, it doesn't. And then it comes down to, this is where, and frankly, this is where it's a problem, is this is what I've said to Jared. Look, Amy Adams Strunk has much more information, not only on these guys when she hired them, but on a daily basis. It's available to her. She owns the freaking team.
Yeah.
So, you know, what kind of handle does she have on, like, the work that's being done? What are the conversations in there, right? I think that, as if people have pointed out, and it's totally fair, some of the public messaging, I think, is part of the problem here, and is either the lack of it or, you know, the choices of what, you know, like Rand Carthon and like what some of what he said to Nick Suss got people all mad and stuff like that. And, you know, a little bit beyond that to me, because I think that's a little bit overblown, but also like a little bit too much optimism in the preseason, or, you know, we hit everybody on the board, or the coaches were all our top choice, you know, stuff like that.
Well, that's why it bothers me when people start talking about this is a rebuild, because they did not act like this was a rebuild heading into this year. I'm not saying that they sit there and guaranteed a Super Bowl, but they did not sit here and act like this was a rebuild heading into the year.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, there aren't rebuilds, in my opinion. I don't believe in rebuilds. Now, sometimes you have dips where you're just terrible, so I guess that's what it is. But in this league, you better be able to snap your fingers and get to 7-8 wins, you know? I mean, you just, like, it's and there's way too many examples of teams that do it. Again, the 10 years ago, it's like this cycle the Titans have every 10 years. 10 years ago, they had two terrible seasons, and they snap, you know, John Robinson came in, boom, they get to 9 wins. Bob and Mount Juliet said, sounds like you guys want Carthon to stay. Look, I'm not going to just dismiss the idea that he could be gone. I do feel like firing this front office has to be, it's got to be for more reasons than just they went 5-12 or 4-13 this year. You know, I'm not saying I want anything. I mean, I want, like, the Titans to be competent as an organization. It's very hard, given what we've seen from the owner in the last couple of years, to believe that they will at that point. I mean, if she does fire them, let's take this to, like, again, this doesn't matter. Like, you have to do the right thing. And if you think it's bad and it is a mess internally, then you should do that. But think about the league reaction to that.
Yeah. I mean, it would not be good. There's no doubt about that.
It's like, what are you doing? Like, yeah. Do you have any idea what you're doing at all after all this excitement about these guys? And
right. Now, I mean, I'll also say, if it gets to the point where you do feel that way, Amy Adams Strunk, and that it's whatever was sold to you, it's not coming close to fruition, and you feel like there's some level of incompetence there, like, forget what people think. Then you have to make a move at that point, if that's how you feel at the end of it.
You must have, as Stilly would say, the courage to do so.
Yes, you must have the courage to do so. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot more of your thoughts to get to on the Titans front office. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal of the Week is Fat Bottom Brewing Company. Enjoy their long-awaited release of their barrel-aged Noel Christmas Ale just in time for the holidays. Get half off a $100 gift card now at thegamenashville.com/deals. while supplies last. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. And there's, I would say, a lot of different reaction on the text line to the front office, the right direction to proceed as they move forward here. You know, Skyler on the text line says, what are the rules for picking a new NFL team to cheer for? The Titans are so bad at everything that I feel like a bandwagon trying to find a new team. This is from Skyler on the text line. Just hang in there, Skyler. It's going to be okay at some point.
Yeah, but you can switch. I switched to nobody, it helped my life a lot. So I just switched to I don't have a team, but I still really hate the Bears and the Packers. So yeah, you know what I mean? That. Yeah. So I mean, that worked for me. I focused on who I hate. So I mean, you can always do that. Okay. Just hate. You can continue to hate and make fun of the Colts and their complete bleep show. We got to get to them this week. So my God.
Yeah. It's going well for them.
It's really incredible. Josh from Dixon, as a Browns fan, the over-optimistic messaging is never good. We used to do that on dumb coach hires. A lot of what I hear from the Titans sounds like what I hear from Cleveland. Hey, you don't want to be compared to the Browns organization a whole bunch.
Probably not.
It's not ideal. So, yeah, there's a lot. I mean, it's, you know, there's no question that people are upset and should be upset. And I totally understand that. But again, it's kind of like, first of all, I hate the whole, when John Robinson was here, I hate the whole, I don't want a first round pick. Look at this guy. He can't, it's like, well, if that is true, then you should fire him, right? Like, if you actually think that he can't make a first round pick, then you should fire him. But, it's difficult. I mean, the John Robinson part of this is also, you can't deny it, right? Like, you can't deny that things went very badly for the last regime in terms of their choices and that affected the roster. You know, I guess the question is like, where should they be right now? It gets clouded by quarterback, right? What if Levis was exactly what everyone hoped to? Not like a superstar QB. That's not realistic, but exactly what everybody hoped he would be. That he would pick up from last year and be, progressing. What would their record be now? What would the conversation be now? I would bet it'd be different enough that we wouldn't even be considering what we're talking about now.
Probably not, but I mean, that's the guy.
But it is reality. Right. That's the guy they drafted. Sure. Right.
Yeah. So it's like, it's a really difficult spot to be in because I do think there is some importance to stability in the NFL. You know, we had a texter just bring up the Steelers. Think about this. They've had three coaches. I want you to think about that. They've had three coaches. It's unbelievable just the amount of stability and consistency and winning that place has done. And they find themselves now at 7-2 with a combination of Justin Fields and Russell Wilson as their quarterback. So just some places it just feels like know how to win. And that's certainly one of them in Pittsburgh. I'm not saying that everybody can be that because obviously everybody can't be that. But I do think there's some importance to getting yourself in a spot as an organization where you're stable at head coach, you're stable in the front office, and you allow them to work. Look at the Ravens. Like, I think the Ravens are a really good example.
That's what I was just going to say. Yep, they're the next example.
I thought the Titans found that, right? Like, I thought that's what it was with John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, and then they get the contract extension, and we all know what's happened since then. I also, you don't just say, okay, we want to be stable, so we're just going to let this thing go for 5 years and see where it goes. Like, it's a really difficult needle to thread, I think. And I keep coming back to this, Joe, because I think it was really important last year, and I think it's important this year. You know, last year when we were talking about Vrabel and whether or not there was a change coming, one of the things we kept bringing up was what was the expectation internally? What were the expectations for Amy Adams-Strunk You know, yes, you drafted a quarterback, so in some ways you're looking to the future. But you also brought back Tannehill, you brought back Derrick Henry, you brought back Kevin Byard at the time, and you could sell, hey, one last run at being competitive here, and we know what happened. I'd love to know, with the money that was spent this offseason, with the trade of a third-round pick to go get Legarius Sneed, what was the expectation internally? What was her expectation looking at this team? And if it's way far off from what it was, how does that affect the decision that she makes at the end of the year?
Yeah, and I'm guessing it was. And while you bring that up, by the way, because I agree, I think the Titans had a chance to have a Ravens-like run with those guys, and then even with Vrabel after Robinson was fired. But that obviously didn't happen. And you bring it up, it seemed to me like Mike Vrabel believed he could still win with what he had.
Yep.
Meanwhile, there's a third-round pick going to a quarterback, and there's a second-round pick going to a quarterback. And that sort of – those are just conflicting messages. And to me, conflicting beliefs within an organization, right, and one side won. And I don't think it was Vrabel's side that won. But, you know, he's gone, so that's what it is. You know, Sand in Portland says pretty simple, Rand didn't fix the O-line. And I – look, I agree, like, that is – I mean, right tackle. You know, it's amazing. I mean, again, I would think that Brian, that Bill Callahan looked at this roster, looked at the film, thought he had what you know something that could be decent, and they just yeah. it's just been an absolute train wreck. I mean, there's just no way around it, and I agree. That's the you know quarterback and O line, right? Are just a problem. Brian says if a company brought in a CEO for 2 years, the product went downhill. Would they keep him and have patience? I don't believe so. So why would a football organization be different? Like I said, the comparison's hard because the sins of the previous regime are still impacting the product. I don't see how you can argue otherwise. How much, you know, then we can get into the minutiae of that. But
yeah,
that is why people get jobs, right? I mean, that's why people get jobs in the NFL, because the product was going downhill before they got there.
Ed says, pulling the plug on the front office in a year and a half, the drafts have been better by far. They need another 2 years, and let's revisit. Have they been better by far? Like, by far?
Like, yeah, I mean, I think this last Stronsky draft, yeah.
Was a, how we looking at that pick right now? Yeah, Will Levis was a draft pick. How's that going right now? You drafted Tajay Spears in the third round, and, you know, he's fine, but he barely plays. Like, I know he got in the game a lot yesterday because – or on Sunday, because Tony Pollard got banged up for a little bit. I mean, this year, Tamondre Sweat, how's that going right now? Like, he's had a couple of really good games. I thought the Miami game, he was outstanding, and he's not really done anything since then. Like, I don't know that I would go and say that the drafts are a ton better right now. I think there's still some time to see on that front, but I don't think we can definitively say that yet.
No, I agree. The last draft looks promising, but I mean, Ed, I promise you this, Ed, and you know what, it's great to have these different perspectives, but I promise you that there's not just going to sit around for 2 years and revisit after that. Okay. I'm sticking with like my timeline, which is I believe that after this next draft and free agency period, if there's not a team that can win on that field next year, is ready, whatever it looks like at quarterback and other places, offensive line, you know, yeah, there's a lot of things to fix. If you got a winning football team next year, then I think you're going to be okay, and you better know early. I think if you get to this point in the season, it looks like this, then I think in-season stuff is very possible. You know, that's what I think will happen, and I have no idea. Someone on the text says, what about ownership? Can't we say at some point the ownership has to be blamed? Gee, there's a new idea you just introduced. We haven't spent years screaming about ownership.
but the problem is, like, in all seriousness, like, there's nothing you could do about that. Like, right. It's, you know, there's nothing, like, that's not going to change. So right. We could sit here and talk about that, and I think we all see that, right? Like, the ownership has been a huge part of this over the last few years, but that's the one thing that's not going anywhere. Like, she ain't going anywhere. So, like, you have to focus sometimes your attention on the people that are here and that eventually will change at some point.
Yeah, look, you have to. It is a problem, clearly. Unless you can convince her to sell, then you just have to hope that she hires people who are good.
Yeah,
and that does happen, and then sometimes it doesn't happen.
Right, exactly. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A couple more thoughts to get to on this front. We will get into the Vols and the college football playoff picture coming up in the next hour as well. A lot of college football in the 7 o'clock hour to get to. All that coming up, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.